The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation has confirmed 4 positive coronavirus cases in the region in 1 week. At least 2 came from non-residents traveling into Bethel, and the other 2 from villages. With me is Dr. Ellen Hodges, Chief of Staff from the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation, and Tiffany Zulkuski, Vice President of Communications.
So I imagine, it's been a pretty crazy week. As a healthcare provider, what is your reaction to the recent increase in the coronavirus cases in the YK Delta?
This is a new novel virus, and it spreads in ways that we don't really understand. And it's a dangerous virus in that it is unpredictable in who has minor symptoms and who becomes very ill from it. So to me, this is just a lesson that we are in the middle of a pandemic, and while restrictions are lifting across the nation, including in Alaska, we still have to be on our guard and we still have to be wary of this virus, and to follow the public health recommendations that have been the recommendations all along to help protect ourselves and our loved ones from this virus. And having an open state does not mean that this pandemic is over.
And, you know, as YKHC is issuing its press releases, you know, you've announced 7 cases of coronavirus related to this region so far, and 4 of those were announced in the past week. So what does this increase tell us about how the virus is spreading?
The state of Alaska keeps telling us, well, we expected this as we opened the state. And I think that does trickle down into our region as our people travel back and forth. And the data, even in our region, tell us that this virus is continuing and it is escalating actually at a record pace in our region and in our state and in the nation. And I think that constant vigilance is hard to keep up for this many months in a row. It's hard for me personally, but we all have to do it. It's all kind of our responsibility. And I've said this all along, that this virus, it's all of our responsibilities to help prevent the spread of it. It's nothing, not one thing any one person or one organization can do. We are all part of this. We're all in it together. And we all have to do our part to prevent the spread of this virus, which is tricky. And we are learning about it every day. And that's another thing that I think the public does find confusing is our recommendations often change and can be conflicting. And that's because it's a new virus and we're just trying to understand it.
What precautions would you guys like to see taken by the general public, you know, business owners and public officials?
We strongly encourage mask wearing in public when physical distancing cannot be maintained. This is very important, and I'm sorry that it has been politicized. It's as important as washing your hands, and I don't think anyone would politicize washing your hands. So wear a mask in when you're in public and when you can't physically distance from people. And you wash your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds. And if you don't have access to running water and soap, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer. And if you don't have access to that, YKHC has recommendations on using bleach water to disinfect your hands. We really ask people to limit non-essential travel. If you don't have to travel out of region or out of state, this is not the year to do it. Put it off. Do it again another time. Practice physical distancing. Don't hang out with people you don't need to hang out with. I think Dr. Zink, the chief medical officer of the state, said it well. If you can't remember all the people that you've been around in the last 14 days, you're around too many people. We really want you to be able to think back if you, God forbid, have to be called as a close contact for a known positive. We want you to be able to list easily the number of people that you've been around in the last 14 days.
As Dr. Hodges said, it's so important, even with the change in weather and having nicer summer days, for people to understand that we're still facing a big global pandemic, that we need everyone's help to try to limit the spread of the virus.
Oh, I was going to say, the other message I really wanted to get out there, and we've found this in our own case investigations and in our statewide calls, many of the people who are infected with this virus have very, very mild symptoms. And they can still be infectious and they can still spread it. So we tell people cough, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, chills, a diminished sense of taste or smell, diarrhea, fatigue, fever, headache, muscle joints, and aches, nausea, runny nose, sore throat, that sort of thing. But many, many people have only mild symptoms, or they may not have any symptoms at all. And I think they can still spread the disease. And so it's really, really important for people who think, well, maybe my allergies are just acting up, or maybe I'm just having a little bit of a cold. People need to take that seriously. They need to self-isolate, and they need to contact someone to get tested right away, because I think that's part of how we're going to be able to control an outbreak in our region is early testing, early isolation, and contact tracing.
So when you guys have had these cases, are they exhibiting symptoms at all? Are they exhibiting only some of the symptoms? What can you tell us about the symptoms?
It varies from case to case. Because of Health Mandate 15, we have been testing a lot more asymptomatic people. So Health Mandate 15 requires testing before admission to a hospital, regardless of the reason for admission, and testing before dental appointments that may generate aerosols. So we've been complying with Mandate 15 and testing a lot more people who don't have any symptoms at all. One of the truths about the tests that we have is they're all better, and they are better at detecting disease when the patient has symptoms. And all this testing of asymptomatic people leads to some inconsistency with testing that just has to do with the levels of virus that people who either have no symptoms or are minimally symptomatic present with. And so the tests are better when people have symptoms, and that's, I think, really important for everyone to understand too. But because of Health Mandate 15, we are testing a lot of people who don't have symptoms.
Is it harder to gauge how much coronavirus has spread here if most of the cases that have been confirmed are mild so far?
No, because our testing is still very good. The molecular-based PCR testing is still very accurate. It's just there when someone is asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic, you shed active virus at intermittent and inconsistent times. So for example, if you're an asymptomatic person and I test you at 8 a.m, you may have a high viral load, but I might test you the next day and it might be a low viral load. A test that's positive is generally speaking a true positive. It's just that each individual test has different levels of detection of the virus. So I think we can rely on our test. It's just that if we're testing a lot of asymptomatic people, the testing may be inconsistent, but that doesn't mean that they aren't infected with the coronavirus.
Can you talk with Christy about the difference between active viral testing and antibody testing?
Oh, yeah. So another question that we get a lot for has to do with the difference between a test for an infection, which is a PCR test. Those are the nasal swabs that people are getting done, and antibody testing. So antibody testing is a blood test that's typically done usually a month to 6 months after an active infection to determine if that person has been exposed to the virus. It doesn't help if the person has an active infection. So it's not used to determine active infection. It's only used to determine exposure to the virus that causes COVID-19. So anyone who were concerned about an infection or being infectious, we do the PCR test, which is the nasal swab, which detects active infection. For antibody testing, the trick with antibody testing is that it's not terribly good in a population that hasn't previously been exposed to the virus. And the reason why is because there's a vast majority of the positives for antibody testing will be false positives if the population has a very low prevalence of the disease. And we do believe that Alaska, that's really how you have to kind of base this, is by populations. So we believe Alaska has a very, very low prevalence of the disease. And therefore, any antibody testing that's done right now in this state is unlikely to be helpful except in a research setting or in a setting of examining entire populations. Like maybe you would want to examine the entire population of the Pacific Northwest, for example, and include Alaska in that. But for individual people, antibody testing isn't going to be that much. That's not going to be very useful to people right now. The other trick to antibody testing that I think it's very important for people to understand is we don't know what positive antibodies mean. We don't know if that means you're immune to catching the coronavirus that we're concerned about here again. And we don't know how long that immunity might last. This is a new virus. We just don't know anything about it. People are basing their observations on other coronaviruses that have circulated in the world. And so we think that the immunity is fleeting, if at all. But we don't know that for sure because this is a novel coronavirus that most of the population hasn't been exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Can I talk a little bit about our airport testing?
Yes, go ahead.
Great. We test here in Bethel, all the arriving flights from Anchorage. We have a couple of hub villages, Aniak and St. Mary's, for example, that will occasionally get charter flights from Anchorage. We also offer testing in those regions for people arriving from Anchorage. The only way really in and out of this region, of course, is by air travel. And so if we can encourage everyone to get tested upon arrival in Bethel or in a hub village, this is the way we're going to be able to, and then to limit their interactions with other people until they get the results of that test. We feel very strong that this is a good public health method to reduce the risk of exposure to the people in our region in this testing. And to date, we get between about 25 and 80% of incoming passengers get tested. And we'd really like to see that close to 100%.
Has that percentage been increasing or decreasing in recent weeks as cases have increased?
It bumps around a little bit. I don't know that we have a solid number. I would say overall it has been increasing a little bit. The closer we can get to 100%, the better off we're all going to feel.
Why is 100% that goal?
It sets up a net where we can identify anyone who comes here who may, even if they don't know they have it, and if they test positive, we can immediately have their close contacts isolated and tested and limit the spread of the virus in our region, because that's the key public health right now. Our key public health ability to control the epidemic is to identify positives as quickly as possible, to isolate them and their close contacts, and to offer testing so that we can identify any other contacts who may be positive and then, you know, isolate them and so on and so forth. And this is how you can prevent kind of an uptick in cases from becoming a large outbreak.
Can we be sure there is no community spread of the coronavirus in the region?
We can't answer that question for sure. Epidemiologically, it doesn't appear that we have community spread, but I don't want people to become complacent either. So I don't think that we don't meet the definition right now of community spread. For sporadic cases, even in a 1 week period of time, does not indicate community spread. But the virus is among us, and it's a tricky, tricky virus, and it's new, and we don't know a lot about it. And again, it's intermittently dangerous. Like, many people have very mild symptoms, but we know from nationwide data that some people inexplicably become very ill and die.
And so ultimately what that means, Christy, is that it is imperative that people continue to practice the protective measures that we know protect our loved ones, which is, as Dr. Hodges said, keeping social circles small, not having gatherings where there are a lot of people. We know that it's difficult, especially in our community. We know that it's difficult, especially this time of year, but it's so important that people understand that we're living in a global pandemic whose virus has reached our region. And while YKHC can provide all of the information that we have regarding how this virus is moving, cases that we understand are happening, we can't prevent the spread. It's up to every single resident in the YK Delta to all do our part in making sure that I'm protecting somebody else, my neighbor's loved one, or my neighbor is helping to protect my loved one. As Dr. Hodges said, it can be really difficult if it can be, you know, really sporadic when somebody has a very severe reaction, and all of our health resources in both our region and the state of Alaska are finite. And so it's so important for every resident in our region to understand the importance of opting for testing after they've had out-of-region travel, hunkering down and keeping social circles small, continuing to practice hand hygiene, wearing masks. All of those things continue to be really important.
And if you get symptoms in there, any symptom at all, we really want to see you and get you tested, so that we can identify our positives as quickly as possible. For Health Against, get the message out there. We really, you know, this is kind of a partnership. Again, this is a team sport. Everyone has to help get this message out there and really let people know this is not the time to become complacent.
That was Dr. Ellen Hodges, YKHC's Chief of Staff, and Tiffany Zulkowski, Vice President of Communications, talking about the four positive coronavirus cases related to the YK Delta that were announced last week. I'm your host, Christy Schallenberger.